This is our last class for this semester, and I just pray the Lord will minister to your heart and just answer the heart cries you have for more of Jesus, and that this time together can be a part of that. So let's pray and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Lord, we thank you for being so wonderful, so wonderfully you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Not in the heavens of the heavens or the earth. There's no one like you, Jesus. We're here because we love you so much, and you're beautiful in your nature and in your being and who you are. Draws our hearts out, gives us strength, gives us brand new eyes to see beyond everything we're going through, to see Jesus, the one we love. And Lord, that's why we're on the earth and in a Bible school and going through stuff. It's because we love you. We want you. Lord, we thank you for all the seeds that you have sown into our hearts. We thank you for the course that you've given through the pastor and the Bible school leadership that was to help us get to you, past ourselves, past our souls, past this earth and all of the distractions and things that would block the way. The things that would block the way from being with you. Thank you for those practical steps that we can use for the rest of our life to be with you, Jesus. And so we want to just hold on to those with our heart, so they'll be there when those times come where we desperately need to be with you and not this earth and our souls and the things that block the way in our hearts. So Father, we ask that you would just guide us in this class, being it's our last time together. That Lord, it would be the time you want it to be, that would make your heart glad and minister to your people. We just want to be with you. So thank you for gathering us together tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I think that what I just prayed is really along the lines of what I'm feeling to end with. Just basic things that we really love Jesus. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're on Skype or at the Bible school, or, you know, have made these choices with our own hearts, not our parents, not someone telling us we had to. Not our failures or our victories dictating our choices, but our love for Jesus, real love. Just, I love you for you, and I want to be with you, Lord. I don't want to be with me. I don't want to be with my ugly, old, selfish, freaked out, worried, fearful soul. I don't want to be with my messed up mind and all the self-awares that justify and hide and run away from you. I don't want to be with this earth that defiles, dirties my feet, and just is so caught up in everything but your heart. Lord, I want to be with you. And I don't always know how to get there. I don't always know how to get out of the entrapments of my soul and my senses and this earth and this realm and all the things that keep us apart. But in my heart, I want to be with you. I don't want to be stuck in my ruts, in this earth, in the sense realm. And you know, isn't it amazing and beautiful how God looks upon the heart? He doesn't look upon the status, how much sinless perfection is in that one. How good is that one doing? How many failures did that one have today? How many victories did that one have? You know, he looks on the heart. It's just the way he is. He could be different if that was the way he was. He's a person, God, all three in one of them. It's a being. And the way they are, the way he is, they look upon the heart. And that's what moves them. That's where they relate. And we can be in a big pile of failure, in a big rut of dryness, in a big mound of confusion in our minds, fear in our souls. The enemy is assailing us in many ways at times. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord, the way He made humans different than the beasts, He gave us free will. He gave us free will so we could choose from our hearts what we love, what our heart opens itself up to. And you know, the enemy can come in and say, you know, you can't love Jesus if you're failing that much. Or if you have a problem with the enemy, I'm sorry, Jesus won't take that love. You got to get perfectly clean first. Or until that carnal mind is dealt with all the way. Jesus doesn't want your love. He doesn't want to live in that old heart of yours. You got to get better first. And you know what? That's just lies. Because Jesus came into our hearts, died for us when we were yet ungodly sinners, His enemies even, and came into our hearts and began to sanctify them by His life. He is our sanctification. And you know, that's not a justification or a license for sin or passivity or entanglement with the enemy and agreement with demons and selfish living. That's has nothing to do with a heart that just wants to play games and live for self and justify it with religion. We're talking about a sincere heart that yearns and burns, cries out desperately, loves the Lord, and can't live without Him. He's the love of their life. He's everything. And they just love Him, but they got problems. And you know, He gave us keys. So He says, believe the word, not everything that's manifesting, and believe the truth as it is in Jesus, not in your sense realm. Believe that I made you one when I brought you into myself and became sin, and I bore all that crucified you. You're crucified with Christ, it says in Romans 6. Buried with Christ, it says in Romans 6, and raised up together. Ephesians tells us this in chapter 2, chapter 1, and all throughout the epistles of the Word. But He brought us into Himself. He brought us into Himself, and He came and made His home in us, because that was in His heart. That was His desire. For I have desired it. This is the place of my rest. It says it in Psalm 32. He has desired to dwell in Zion. He's desired to dwell in His people, in our hearts, and to make His home there. He desired that. We did not earn that. He desired that. And as we want to prepare Him a habitation by making our hearts His dwelling place and not a den of thieves and merchandisers and false lambs and false holy spirits, and we want to have that temple and that house ready for Him to be the fullness. Yes. But in the process, we have to keep our hearts with Him. We have to keep that first love lit. We have to keep love, keeping that engine going forward. And you know, all these things, they try to blow that love right out. You know, it's like the kids' song. Some of us have done it in Ireland together at children's church, Bible clubs. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Devil ain't going to blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Most of you know that from your childhood. Devil ain't going to blow it out. Sense realm ain't going to blow it out. My failures ain't going to blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let that first love stay lit in my heart for Jesus. And so God has given us principles where we can begin to be with Him where He is at, instead of be so entrenched in our own junk that we are separating ourselves from the Lord that we love. And we've been given the word that's not just teaching, that's not just doctrine, that's not just commandments on how to act like Jesus and be a lamb-like person, but the word that is His spirit, His nature, His life. Because we talked about this, my word is spirit and life. It's not flesh and soul, carne and suke, it's zoe and pneuma. It's life, spirit, God's life and God's spirit. It wants to fill us. And we can receive it so deep that it becomes engrafted and planted in our hearts and begins to change us from the inside out by His life and His spirit. We have His word even before it's manifesting fruit out of us. We have that to stand on in the face of all sense realm opposition in our minds, in our eyes, in our experience, in our soul, in our earth that we're standing on. We have the word of God to stand on, and having done all, stand in the face, looking in the face of sense realm opposition. And what is sense realm opposition? Everything that says you are not crucified with Christ, you are not joined to Jesus, He is not in you, you are not in Him. He gave us His word and His authority by His word to stand on in the face of that, and to have stability. And not just stability, but something that says, I'm with you, Jesus, God my Father, Spirit of the living God. I'm with you where you're at. I'm not with me where I'm at. You are my reality because I was crucified to this realm. I was crucified to this old nature. I was crucified to this unrenewed mind. And I was buried in you, put it all away, and was raised up where you are my mind. You are my life. You are my place. You are my heart. You are my spirit. You are my breath. You are my life. And I don't set my affections on the sense realm, but I set them on things above, where I am dead and my life is now hid with Christ Jesus in God. And so I don't go by what's below in the earth, in the sense realm. I go by the truth as it is in Jesus, and I set my heart there, and I set my faith there by upholding the Word of God above what I see and think and feel and do. And I join with Him by coming under the authority of the Word and standing on it in the face of things that contradict it in my eyes and senses and situations. I don't do it to justify flesh or carnality or rebellion. I do it to join with Him and abide in Him and graft into Him and cleave with purpose of heart into Him and draw His life into me and hold on to Him in the middle of the storm that's in my soul. I cleave to that word. I stand on it like someone who's being, in the middle of a huge storm in the Pacific Ocean, and the waves are just pouring over the ship, and all you can hold on to is the mast, and just pray you don't get capsized with the ship. But you're holding on to the word. You're saying, I'm one with you. I don't care how hard these waves try to blow this ship over and me with it. I am with you, Lord. And you know, there's love and faith at work there, not justification and laziness and passivity. There's a love going on. Faith works by love. Lord, I'm with you, and I'm not letting go, and I'm holding on to your word, the word that is your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Lord, this is out from your heart. This is who you are. This is your word. It carries your authority. It's your reality, and I'm in you, and I'm with you, and I'm not with the storm, and I'm not with what my soul says is real. I'm not with what all the earth dictates I should do and feel and be. I'm with who you are as my life, and what your word declares that to be before I see it manifest down here, and I won't let go. I won't let go. Having done all, stand. Isn't that in Ephesians 6? You just stand. You don't let go. You know, sometimes our lack of Christ in our wayward souls and our unrenewed minds and the circumstances that we are put in that should work to manifest Jesus in ways, but sometimes they just manifest our lack of Jesus. All these pressures and things come. They try us and they test us. But in the middle of them, as we press into the nature of the Lamb and seek His heart with every fiber of our being and fix our eyes on Jesus, we hold on to Him every step of the way. We hold on to His word. We hold on to His word in the face of everything. Let God be true and every man be liar. Your word is exalted even above your name. And so we hold on to that. The Lord gave that tool to us in his word, in this course that was given to us. It's a gift. But it's only a gift to someone who loves Jesus enough to just not surrender to the storm. Not surrender to the storm, but to hold fast to Jesus, to exalt Him above all the earth. You are in the Psalms, David and the psalmists, but say, Lord, I exalt You above the heavens. You are exalted above the earth, even above all the heavens. I exalt You. You are exalted. You are more real than everything going on in the earth. You are more real than everything going on in my soul. You are more real than everything going on in my mind. You are more real than everything going on even in the heavens of the heavens. You are above it all, and You are more real. And I exalt You. I lift You up. I stand with You on Mount Zion. I hold fast to Your word in the middle of the storm. I submit to the truth as it is in Jesus and not the truth as it is in the sense realm. And I won't let go. I won't let go. I won't let go. I cleave with purpose of heart. You know, we think, well, if I'm going to cleave to the spirit realm in the midst of the sense realm opposition, it's got to look pretty. It's got to be, I got to do a good job of it. I need to be spiritual. It needs to be a spiritual moment when I'm, standing and applying the truth. And it can just, you know, if you've ever, we've all seen, at least in the movies, a woman having a baby. I don't know why this comes to my mind, but it just does. They show most of the time how just, it's not a pretty thing. Her face is like turning purple and she's screaming and it's not pretty. It's not like she's a ballet dancer doing this beautiful, you know, pirouettes or whatever they call them. And then there comes the child and it's just graceful and lovely and a dance and it's so spiritual. You know, it's like screaming and it's messy and it's doesn't look pretty and there's probably no way to do it right. You just gotta stick with it, get her done, just push, cleave, go with the Holy Spirit, let it happen. When the contractions come, go with them. I mean, I don't know why I'm using this example, but you just gotta get after the spirit realm, just get after it. It may not look pretty. You may have to use what was given also by Pastor Randy. He gave us this when the Lord gave him this course, the sword of the Spirit. You may need to open up that mouth like the woman does when she's having contractions and they say, you know, she'll just start screaming. She'll just start screaming because of the pain and the pushing and the travail to bring forth this child. But there are times when you can't just open up your Bible and then open up your journal and then write down the truth as it is in Jesus and then take a sip of your Frappuccino like Puffy would do and then put your Frappuccino down and write down another deep truth and then, you know, have a deep moment and then take another sip of your Frappuccino and then write down another deep moment until your Frappuccino's gone and your quiet time 20 minutes is over and now you get back to real life. I mean, that's what, hello, you get what you pay for kind of deal. You know, maybe a halfway something of a whatever your journal will be, I don't know, dusty in 10 years in the bottom drawer. But if you get after it, and the spirit realm is more like bringing forth Christ than writing journal notes, and it's a matter of life, another life coming forth, or death, you just staying dead and stuck in your soul in the earth, and it becomes a travail. It becomes a living... I don't know what to say. The picture is pretty clear. You cleave with purpose of the heart. You hold. You do. You use. And we were at the sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We were at the sword of the Spirit. You don't just write those little notes down. You open that mouth. And the sword is your tongue. And it becomes a sword of the Spirit when you speak the word in faith. You open that mouth. And you stand against that carnal mind and maybe what the enemy's trying to push on you. You can't love Jesus. You're too much of a failure. No, no, no. Just don't believe the word of God. Just go with your flesh. Just you're nothing. All the lies, all the depression. You know, all he can get bad. It can get people can start wanting to commit suicide because they failed the Lord. And they fail other people. And it starts getting heavy duty stuff starts coming. This can get bad. Many of us know. And you got to say, oh man, that ain't coming from the Lord or the Spirit of the Lord or the Word of God. But I know what my God says. And I have His Word. And I have my heart and my free will. And no one's, you know, sewing my lips together where I can't speak. So I got a tongue. I got a heart, a free will, and a tongue. And the Word of God right here. And I'm going to do a little warfare. And you just... by faith, from that heart, you start speaking that word in the face of those sense realm oppositions and all those things that are trying to defile your core and press you out of God's heart and into this dirty old earth and these lies, forsaking our own mercy by believing the lying vanities of the sense realm. I mean, that's what a verse was in Jonah. You know, looking at this stuff down here, forsaking the wonder and beauty and reality of what we have in Christ. And you just start warring with your sword drawn. That's your tongue. You open that mouth and you confess with your heart. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and His word is true. And it's your truth and you're confessing it because it's true of you and you believe it. And you believe it more than what you feel and think and see and the enemy's saying and your circumstances are doing and the winds are blowing and the waves are... You believe it and you start using that sword and swinging against doubt and fear and unbelief that are trying to rob you of that engrafted word and that living union and that abiding faith that's taken you right into His heart and His Spirit so you can draw it into your branch and into your heart. You start warring. You start using that sword. Now, that's another tool that was given us in this class for the culturally deprived that we need. You know, it wasn't like, well, you know what? That was a good course. Chalk that up to interesting, and I believe it. You know, man, you're going to be up the creek without a paddle when this stuff starts hitting way beyond what we can bear, pressed way beyond our measure, way beyond what we can handle. It's beyond us. We can't do it. Oh, but we can, because we have Jesus in us. We have a heart, a free will, the word of God, the truth as it is in Jesus, and we're in Christ, and His realm is our realm by virtue of being in Him, by virtue of God raising Him from the dead after He gave His life to deal with that old stuff. Crucify the flesh and the old man. We have tools in our arsenal. We just have to use them and not make them teachings because they work. They work. And you say, you know, I just feel silly just talking scriptures out in the air. I mean, I feel like a lunatic, and if anybody saw me right now, I'd be so embarrassed, and I don't even think it's going to do it. Well, that's not the sword of the Spirit. That's just a stupid person parroting things because someone told them to, and there's no faith in it, and it's not going to do anything except make you feel ridiculous. And you're not a stupid person. You're a precious vessel of the living Christ, but it is a stupid thing to do when I do it. I am the stupid person that does that. You are the precious vessel of Jesus. And let's just leave it at that. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work if we're just doing it. There's got to be not just, oh, I have to be emotional, I have to be loud, I have to be violent. Well, that's not it either. Man, you can start having a bad spirit trying to conjure up some kind of a emotional anger against your flesh. That, no, it's not about being angry with your flesh and conjuring up a violent spirit. It's not about being emotional and crying lots of tears and shouting loud. It's about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that it's real. Just real. Just coming from the heart, coming out that mouth, I'm with you, Lord. And man, I'm not talking it into the mirror. I'm not doing it for the neighbors. I'm not trying to convince the people in the church. My heart is speaking to your heart, God, and I'm using the language of your word because I'm with you. And I'm not with my flesh, and I'm not with this earth. And God will hear. Because why? Just like we said in the beginning, because he hears the heart. His language is not emotions, tears and anger and volumes. And his language is crucified language, and he hears that heart stuff that speaks it to him. And so, you know, just, it's two words, just be real. Just be real. Be real. Just be real, not religious. Just be real. Just come from that heart. And it's gonna, and you will, and if you use the sword properly, you will notice a difference. Faith will start coming where the fear was. The word will start taking, it will just start being preeminent above the carnal mind. Peace will start coming. And guiding, what does it say in Philippians? That our heart and mind would be by Jesus Christ. That the peace of God would protect our heart and mind by Jesus Christ. Something like that. That there would be peace. There will be peace coming from oneness with his mind, through his word, bringing us into that one, his word. We agree. Didn't Amos tell us that how can two walk together lest they agree? You're coming into agreement with the Lord by his word. I agree with you. I am with you. The word was with God. We're going to walk through this together. I'm not going to walk through this alone. I can't walk through the quagmire of this sense realm muck alone to get to you. I can't do it. I am the muck and mire. My brain is the quicksand. My soul is the storm. I can't get from me to you by the me that is preventing me from getting to you. I have to come by you, through you, with you. And the only tool that I have right is the word. And it is not the teaching or doctrine word. It's the word that is you, that was with God, that is the fullness of God. I need to spirit and life one. I need that word to be spirit and life and my heart to join with it. And we walk together. We're agreeing together. I'm confessing it. I'm getting on your side through the word. But you're in me, but we're together. I'm in you, but we're together walking it out. The word in that way. These are huge tools. When do we need these? Every day. Every day. And I think that's one of the reasons why they came when I was, I think it may be my first or second year here, because how was I going to get past some of these huge obstacles that were me? My soul, the sense realm, the way I understood the word, my kind of faith I'd use, all these things. I was trapped and I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out of that cage. And the devil was in that cage, and the darkness of my unrenewed mind was in that cage. And my soul, I couldn't get around it. It was in that cage. I needed the key to open it up and get me to Jesus, not free. I didn't just want to be free. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to be with him, whom my soul loveth. I wanted to be with him. And so these were like, I know Randy didn't just seek the Lord. He cried out. He travailed. He was bearing the care of the good shepherd for sheep that needed help. And so we still partake of the answers to those heart cries, that we might too be free to love Jesus, to seek him with our whole heart, to not live separate because of the sense realm and things, that we would exalt above him and his word and his realm and his reality. And so how precious of the Lord to cover us and to give us these tools that we might be with Him, that we might be with Him. And so I just, you know, I'm feeling to just kind of touch on some of these key elements to this course that really can make such a difference in our lives. And I know that we had the emphasis for most of our times together of the spirit realm and the sense realm and the nature of, is it the lamb's nature in me that we're going for here, or is it that beast that just keeps using this realm and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to feed and grow and manifest? And we've spent a lot of time with that. And those issues of nature are core because, you know, it's who He is. It's who He is in us. It's not just what He teaches us. And it's so big when you love Him, but how can He be who He is in us if we can't find our way there? If we can't find our way there. He said, abide in me. If ye abide in me, I will abide in you. And you will bring forth much fruit. We must abide in His realm before He's going to be able to get that nature change on the inside of us. And sometimes that road to abiding is blocked. That bridge over, it's not, we're one, but you know what I mean? There are snares and things to capture, like nets to catch us and keep us from abiding, from being there in real heart, real faith, real ways. And so I just encourage you guys to hold on to some of these things that the Lord, to review, maybe, I don't know, listen to older courses where they were I think there's some on the websites. We went through some of the steps a little more clearly, or, you know, just ask the Lord, what do you have for me? What do I need out of this? What can I glean that's going to save my life in the sense of being with you, Lord? You know, because they're given with purpose, and I don't want this generation, this group, to miss out on any of the treasure, any of these amazing tools that God's given us so we can make this journey and really get to Him like Peter needed to when he got out of the boat and walked on water to get to Jesus. We need to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we are going to sink, and we're going to look to the right and to the left and get our eyes on the earth and on the things in the sense realm and start sinking and let the storm take us down. You know, but remember this. Jesus put His arm out. He put His arm out to Peter. When he started sinking and looking at the sense realm, getting his eyes off the spirit realm, which is the face of Jesus. When he started doing that, what did Jesus do? Did he say, sink, you failure? What are you doing? Looking at the waves, my Lord. Here I am, and you're looking at waves. Are you serious right now? He put his arm out, and he pulled him back up. You know, and that's just a picture of Peter walking towards Jesus of Nazareth before Jesus died, before Peter was born again, and Jesus was inside of him, and he was inside of Jesus. That's just a picture. How much more now that we are in Him and He is in us? You know, can we have confidence that as we slip under those waves and get our eyes off of Him, which we don't want to, but we do, and we don't want to, but we do, that we can look back into His face and into His eyes and know that that arm is extended, but it's more than an arm. We're in Him. And we can turn on, and we talked about this, we can turn on a dime. We can be so swallowed up of the sense realm that we start sinking in fear 5 seconds after we were literally walking on water and looking straight at Jesus. And wow, we're really overcoming by just being with Him in the Spirit. And it's, look at our walk, we're not even sinking like we usually do. And then all of a sudden this big wave come up, or a sound in the sense realm, or a crisis, or something that distracts us and gets our attention, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we're swallowed up of it. And we think, oh, how am I ever going to get back to walking on water, to, if you will, walking in the Spirit, being with Him in His, how am I ever going to get back to that? just wait, there's something on there I want to make. Yeah. How am I ever going to get back to that? You're not. You can't get back to that. You're already there. You're already there. You just got distracted. So plug right back in to where you are in Christ. Don't make it a doctrine or a teaching or a place for your flesh to make excuses for not bringing forth Christ, but make it a reality that draws you out of yourself and this earth and everything in you that fails and keeps making you just want to go back down into yourself and put you right back in His realm and say, Lord, I'm going to stay with Your face. I'm going to stay looking into those eyes. I'm going to break gaze because I get distracted and I don't want to, but you know, there's this little bird chirping and I'm not looking, and then there's this big eagle cawing and I'm not looking, and then there's this huge airplane and then I'm not looking, and then there's this train wreck and I'm not looking, and then this huge clap of thunder just got me and I turned. You know, something, it seems to always get me, Lord, and then I lose all that ground and it takes so long to get back walking on water again. Jesus said, you're already there. You're already there. I don't have to put a hand out anymore. I put you in my Son. You're there. Of God are ye in Christ. Believe it and start walking. Agree with it. Enforce it with the sword of the Spirit. Speak it in faith. Confess it. Fix your eyes. Set your affections on things above. You're dead and your life is there now, hid with Christ in God. And start walking. Start walking in the Spirit. Come on. You can turn on a dime because you're already there. Don't waste any time. You waste any time with the dirty old sense realm and getting further entangled and deep under those waves where someone's got to, you know what I mean, do a deep sea dive to get you up. You can just say, okay, it ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's all about you. It's all about you. And I just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of the sense realm will grow strangely dim. Just fix your eyes. Just turn them right back. You're already there. How much time do I waste crying over spilt milk and boo-hooing over sense realm failures and my stupid old soul and its crazy, crazy town thoughts and fearful? How much time is my soul swallowed up of me, this sense realm, when I could be swallowed up of Jesus? Because He's already put me in Him. I just want to be with You, Lord. I just want to be with You. I know I'm a mess. I am a big mess. Let's just agree. I am desperate. Desperately in need of Your beautiful life. And that is true. And I'm humbled and broken and desperately crying out, but Father, I just love Your Son. He is my change. He is my change. And I love Him. And I want to look in His face. And I want to drink in His Spirit. And I just want to be with Him. I just want to be with Him. What does Jesus say? Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. But Lord, I can't come unto You because You're dealing with me. You are truly dealing with me, and I need dealt with, and okay, yes, you need to be dealt with, and you need to not leave the place of Gilgal, and you need to stay submitted to the Lord's dealings in your life. You need to let the cross come and do its work deeply within. You can still be with me. You can still be with me. Still be with me. Can your heart not be with me? Can we not be together as one? Can we not be together at Gilgal? Can we not? Of course we can. How else can we do it? How else could we? You know, so We just love him. We just want to be with him where he's at. We just don't want to drag him down here to our dirty old yucky earth, our unrenewed minds, our carnality. We want to go up there and be washed, be swallowed up, be changed into his image. We want to go up there not for changed, but just for him. And then he is the change. And how many days can be wasted seeking change instead of seeking him? And yet, if we seek to change realms, we can seek him instead of change. And yet we will be changed. You know, I'm really just trying to speak from my heart and just share a few nuggets that might really make a difference. Just make a real difference for those who are really sincerely wanting to know him, be with him, have his life. You know, we may have, and this is just the final thing I think of from the Course, just touching on different areas, but briefly and lightly. We may have strongholds, many of us, all of us, things that have been built up through believing the sense realm, evil report, agreeing with reasonings and thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God and the mind of Christ. Those things becoming value systems, reasonings, value systems, lifestyles, strongholds that have become so solidified in our being, in our mind, in our ways, that we're trapped within them and have taken many, many years to build. And they're like fortresses, hard to get in, hard to break down. But even in those, we have the Word of God. We have the mind of Christ. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the truth as it is in Jesus. We have our faith. We have our agreement. And you know, a lot of people, we talked about this, I think, in our last class, that a lot of people can take all these principles. I want to be free from the enemy, and he works in the sense realm. And I want to be free from strongholds, and they're built by sense realm bricks. And I want to be free from my carnal mind, and it just sees the sense realm. And I want to be free from a works mentality, and it uses the sense realm in my soul. And I want to be free from my soul. And I just want to be free. So this Course is so perfect for me, because I just want to be free. And this is my ticket. This is my ticket to freedom. Unfortunately, it's not. It's not at all. If you free a wild donkey, it's going to eventually find itself back in prison, because it's just wild and ungoverned. But if the Son makes you free, your freedom comes from another life that's changed you from the inside out, that will not live in this realm because he's of another realm, that will not live as a beast in the earth feeding off of the tree of death, but will live as a lamb from above, that lives by giving his life as the tree of life. There's no sneaky way around it. There's no quick fix. There's no justification. There's only a heart that loves the lamb and wants his life more than life itself, and wants to be with him despite everything until he can form and fruit, be fruit through them. There's just love for him, real love, and things that work by love for real. There's not formulas and tricks, and there's just, for the heart that loves him, things that we can cleave to and apply and actually get there a little quicker with a little less just taking us down before we can. And so I think we can just pray and ask the Lord to, by his Spirit, by his nail-scarred hands, by his fathering heart, can speak to each one here right where they're at, what they need, what he's speaking to them, which aspect of these things the Lord has given us through this Course apply to where they're at, and that they would become living and spirit and life and full of God, and that they would help in those times of need and be real tools that can be used to love him, to be with him, to bring him forth. So Lord, we thank you for all the things you've given and shared and you speaking into our hearts and helping us with in real ways, because we love you, we want you, we're desperate for you, we want your life, we want to be with you, I love you, and oh, just minister to you and all that, that heart stuff. So Lord, I just pray that your spirit, the things you're speaking, the things that would help those whom only you would know what they need, or that you would minister, you would bring to remembrance, Holy Spirit, that you would make it living and real and open our eyes to how it can be truly applied, walked in. We thank you so much for helping save our life, for Jesus' life, helping guide us in these dark paths by the light of your word, a lamp to our feet. Thank you. Thank you for not just stretching out your hand, but putting us in Christ so we could immediately turn and be with him in his realm. Thank you, Father, for all you've given and all you've done. You gave your Son. You put him in us. You sent your Spirit. You gave your Word. You have, as the best Father ever, given us so much provision to be with you where you're at and to bring forth Christ. And we honor you and we're thankful. And our thankfulness extends beyond words, but to taking the gifts and using them, Lord, for your glory. For your glory, because we love you. So be glorified through Jesus in us. And know that we are so very, very thankful that we can love you and be yours all through the journey until Christ be formed. And that fruit comes forth unto to your desire and to your great joy, the joy of the whole earth, Lord, Jesus coming out of his body. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for this whole semester, for your love, for your friendship in Jesus, for your hearts, and for the journey that we've been on together. I just want to personally thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.